Welcome up, Pastor Trent.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. You guys ready for the Word of God? It's ready for you. Open with me to the book of Ephesians, and we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if you've been with us, you know where we are. We are, and you look at the slide behind me and you say, what is that? If you don't know where we are putting shoes on this morning. We are shodding our feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace. And last week we were in part 6 of our study here on walking in victory as we're looking at spiritual warfare here in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 and on. We are in, though we're in part 6 of walking in victory, we are in part 2. Oh, I'm so funny, aren't I? We're in part 2 of verse 15. You're totally confused, but that's okay. So am I, but the Word of God isn't, thank God. We looked at we looked at the whole verse last week, but we looked at the word preparation. And we looked at one of its possible meanings, and this week we're going to look at the other. Hopefully you'll see they both go together. I don't think it's a choice of one or the other. It's a fullness of both of them. And we'll understand that more. Let's read it this morning, and I want to start in verse 10, and I just pray we'd open our hearts up and hear the Word of God today. Is this powerful? Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And let's keep reading, verse 19 and 20. You'll see it ties into what we'll look at this morning. So pray for me that the utterance might be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Would you pray with me? And God, I humble my heart before you and before my friends here this morning. Pray that you would just get me out of your way. You'd speak to us your word. You are the center of our lives. You're the center of the church. And there's no man, there's no worship team, no pastor, there's no speaker that takes that place. You're our God. You're our Savior. We all this morning come on level ground. God, I thank you for the blessing that worship of song can be. I thank you for the teaching of your word. Lord, apart from your Spirit at work, it all is nothing. And so I ask you to magnify your name today. Lord, you'd speak to us. We come here as hungry children. Whether we see that hunger or not, we come, Lord, and we recognize that you alone are the one who's able. And so we pray right now that you would do that work in us. And you would illuminate your word this morning to us. Give us clarity and understanding. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, we looked at verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The slide behind me is that. It's ancient sandals. sandals that would have been on a Roman soldier's feet. They're to shoe their feet. I love how Wiest said it. Sandal your feet with the preparation or the firm footing. Last week we looked at that word preparation and we saw that sandal, it has these what is called hobnails. It's basically nails put through the sole of the sandal, much like a golf shoe is today. To give footing, to give grip. And we saw the word preparation here was a word that could mean foundation or firm footing, which really fits with the context clearly. And that's why we started there. We also see that the word preparation can refer to a readiness, that which would mean to be prepared beforehand to action, to do something. And it's important for us to see that both of these go together. Last week we talked about being firmly footed as a soldier to have a firm grasp on the gospel of peace. Not necessarily to go preach, but to allow it to affect our lives, that we might stand in the gospel. We talked about what is the gospel? And we looked at the book of Romans, and Romans reveals to us the gospel in a very powerful way. More than just Jesus died on the cross, was buried, the third day rose again, but what happened when he did that? How does that affect us? What does that mean for us as Christians? And that foundation that we have, a doctrinal foundation to our salvation. Very, very important. We looked at justification, how we stand in that, how we've been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ to God, and how we were once enemies, how we have, Jesus was our propitiation. We talked about how that through the blood of Christ, He was our propitiation, which means that God's wrath was appeased, taken away. So that fellowship is there, and all that, and more we talked about, and all that we have. And we really just scratched the surface in the gospel of Jesus Christ for us. So after being firmly footed, after having a firm foundation as a soldier of Christ, I'm standing now and I understand the gospel for me personally. I've looked at the book of Romans. I've looked at what Paul's already said in Ephesians in the first three chapters, all the riches and wealth that we have in Jesus Christ. And now I'm ready to go forward with the message that I'm standing in. And so that's where we come this morning. The second part of the word, and when the word is used in its noun form, this word in the Greek, preparation here, it speaks of readiness. And I love it. Interesting. Warren Wiersbe, he looks at it using both meanings as well. In his commentary on Ephesians, this is what he writes. After writing about the soldier having the firm foundation and standing, he says this, but the shoes have another meaning. We must be prepared each and every day to share the gospel of peace with a lost world. Then he says this, the most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. So he says, after being firmly founded, then we need to be ready to share the gospel. And I just share that with you to know that I'm not alone in, if you would, the way I'm approaching this word and this passage. Now, I love what he says, that we need to be ready to share the gospel each and every day. And I love that he says here, because we're using the phrase walking in victory, right? That's the theme that we're looking at. He says here that the most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. Now I want you to think about that. The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. As we go through the study this morning, keep that in your mind. Because a victorious Christian is one that's firmly founded in the gospel. And a victorious Christian that has a great foundation in the gospel and walking in the grace of God is going to be a witnessing Christian. You couldn't hold them back. Okay? This isn't necessarily an issue of, listen, church, this morning I'm going to talk to you about evangelism. I am going to do that. But I don't want us to have our hearts kind of posed towards this as, oh, here he goes. He's going to talk about evangelism. I'm not good at that. I don't do that real well. I'm already condemned before we start the message. As soon as the topic was brought out, I said either I should go to sleep, I should leave, or I should maybe text someone, or I don't know, just distract myself from what he's going to, because it's good, it's great, but it's for someone else. Listen, if I'm firmly founded in the gospel, walking with God, I told us the greatest victory over our sin, when we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the greatest victory over our sin, the greatest victory over the enemy is walking with God. Listen, if I walk with God and I'm founded in the gospel and I'm living by the grace of God, you're not going to be able to shut me up, because my relationship with God is so awesome if I'm really walking in it. You know, the sinners come around and the world, and I just gotta tell them the good news that they can have purpose, hope, life, the resurrection life living through them. Because I'm not just aware of it, I am experiencing it. Oh church, if we would just simply allow the Lord to draw us into Him and just fall in love with Jesus, just fall in love with Him, you couldn't. I mean, death itself can't shut the church up when they're in love with Jesus. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, being in love with Jesus and how we share the gospel. But I think it's important for us to understand that, because that's what Christianity is about. Now, some of us can look back to the beginning of our salvation. I remember that. I remember when you couldn't shut me up. I mean, I didn't know much, but what I knew, you were going to know. You know? There was a zeal, right? And then as time goes on, we just get, better educated and quieter. Why is that? We just lose that fervor. We lose that zeal. I know that God has begun a work in our church, even today, by His Spirit, just working in our hearts. Just during worship, I just sensed a work, and just being in more the inside of what's going on in our fellowship. I just see God doing a work. And there's a lot of warfare. And that's because God's doing something. Satan's upset. He don't want you to hear this message this morning. He don't want me to preach this message. Thank God God's bigger. You're going to hear it, and I'm going to preach it by His grace. Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up to the reality of salvation. It's time to be renewed in our faith. It's time to say, I'm done with apathy. I'm done with the world. I'm done with dumb things. See, that's what the flesh is, and that's what the world offers us. Nothing. Well, it's all said to nothing compared to the resurrected living Christ that says, I'm going to abide in you, dwell in you. And He says, and out of you is going to flow rivers, a gushing torrent of living water. Because my life is in your life, and my life is going to reflect through your life, and people are going to know my life through you. You are going to be my ambassador. Now, that's not a burden. I got a witness. I need to take a class on witnessing. Listen. The best people that I've seen witness and lead people to Christ and have fruit are those new Christians who don't know anything but Jesus died for me and I'm saved and I gotta tell you about it. I'm not saying we shouldn't be educated. In fact, I'm going to talk about that this morning. We do need to. But I am saying that we don't need to wait until I've got it all together, and then I'm going to share the gospel. You know, when I can answer all the questions, then I'll share the gospel. No. No, I'm going to put shoes on today. I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation, with the readiness of the gospel of peace, and I'm going to march forward as a soldier. Listen, Satan wants you to make it. He wants you to have this attitude. If I just make it to heaven, that's my goal, that's my purpose. And God says, you're going to make it to heaven. If you're my child, thank God you're going to make it, because He said you are. And the reason you're going to make it is because of the blood of Jesus. But wait a second. The reason you're not in heaven right now, you ever ask that question? Lord, why can't I just go to heaven right now? Because I've got a purpose for your life. Well, wow, I want to know that purpose. There's one purpose for a Christian's life. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is the beginning of the church. This is the word of Jesus to his church. And when he says it, when you think about that, when he says it, he is ascending into heaven. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses of me. That's it. There's the purpose. That's the whole thing. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's it. That's my purpose. And let me just say this. When you live in the fulfillment of your purpose, you will be fulfilled. When you live in the fulfillment of your purpose, you will be a fulfilled person. There is nothing more exciting than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they reject what I say or not. It's so awesome. It's hard. It's scary. I'm not saying, well, I just go out and just share it. You know, this is not a fear in my heart. I just go out and just go, hey, do you know about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you about it. It's not that easy. Let me just say this. When you share the gospel, and when the gospel's real to you, and it flows out of you, as the Spirit of God opens your mouth and opens your heart and begins to use you, there is nothing more fulfilling in life. Nothing more satisfying. And you know what I'm thankful for this morning? And you might want to write this down. God hasn't called me to convert souls. He's called me to be a witness of Him. There's a big difference. There's this pressure on some of us, like, I've got to save people. You can't save anyone. News flash. Cannot save anyone. Only Jesus can save. I have got no ability to save any of you. In fact, I don't have any ability to teach you guys. I could teach until I'm blue in the face. I can teach like Paul did until the sun goes down and then the midnight hour and then into the morning. And you're like, please don't. Well, then just take heed and I'll stop. But unless you open your heart, unless the Spirit of God quickens your mind and your heart, it's just words. It's just words. But you know the awesome thing this morning is God has given you a will. Decision to make. Am I going to follow Jesus with all my life? You know, as a Christian, we have a will. Am I going to surrender all? We sing it. Boy, we need to do it. Not because we have to do it, but because you, trust me, you need to do it. It's a great place to be His. Just, I'm yours. I give it all. My life is yours. Oh, it's a sweet place. It's a satisfying place. It's a place that God wants us to live. And so the word here that we want to look at, here in its noun form, we find preparation. It can be translated to become ready. I like that. To become. I want you to think about this. To become ready. To be prepared or to be ready. There's a difference becoming ready and being ready. Obviously, what comes after becoming ready is being ready. I like this one. To be ready for everything. That's what it's. I'm ready for everything. Now, the context. Paul says, I want you to be prepared, ready with the gospel of peace. You know, that word ready, it's an interesting word. As you look at some of the synonyms, it has the idea of made ready or prepared, or I like this one, equipped. We use that in the church. Be equipped for the work of the ministry. Equipped with the word of God. You know, I always love to look at the opposites because it tells me what it's not. And the opposite of the word prepared here is the word unprepared in the Greek. That's the antonym, unprepared. You know what it's like to be unprepared. We've all been unprepared in life. Now, I'm thankful that you are ready this morning for church. At least outwardly, physically, you guys all look good today. You got ready. You got up and got ready. And you made time to get ready before you came. You prepared yourself. We do that. We prepare things. It'd be like you're going to have a big dinner at your house. All these people are coming over. You thought it was tomorrow night, but actually it's tonight. There you are in your kitchen. There you are. You know, you're the wife there, the cook, the hostess. And you're not prepared. You're there washing your dishes. Family just ate. You know, kids are playing a video game. There's toys on the floor. You know, you got the little ones and house is a little dirty. You know, there's a pile of laundry, you know, there in the hallway. And there you are and knock at the door. You answer it. They go, hi. And they're all dressed nice and you're like not. And you're looking, I'm like, hey, how you doing? What are they doing here? Come on in, I guess. As you're unprepared. And then you realize the events tonight and they keep showing up. The terror that enters that woman's heart. I am unprepared. And that's exactly what it's like when God opens those doors and we go out in the world and oftentimes we don't even see it. And we just kind of live there like someone's asked us a question and it's just like it takes us off and we're like, what, you know, and we're unprepared. The word prepared, this word is used actually concerning the preparing of a meal. Matthew chapter 22, verse 4 says this, and again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited. This is a parable Jesus is sharing about inviting people to the feast. See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calf are killed. It's ready. And all things are ready. Come to the wedding. That's the word. It's everything's been pre-prepared. It's ready. Come on in. That's the way God wants us. He wants us as Christians to have our feet firmly fixed in the gospel and that we are ready. Men, you know what it's like. There you are working, you know, in your company and you're in charge of giving some kind of presentation at the next meeting. Well, you're getting prepared for that, but you're a procrastinator. And so the meeting's tomorrow morning. Well, this afternoon, you know, you've slotted out some time. You're going to get things prepared. Your boss comes to you at lunch and says the meeting's been changed. It's at 1. The corporate guys, they're in town, so we're going to have the meeting now. And you just terror fills your heart. Ah, I'm not ready. That's called being unprepared. This is what God wants us. He wants us to live in the readiness to share the gospel of Christ. And there's only one way to be ready. And that's to be firmly fixed in the gospel personally. And to be walking near the Lord. Let me just say this. When you're walking close to God, you're always ready for that opportunity that comes knocking. There's two areas that I think that we should talk about of readiness. And that is the mind and the heart. We need to be ready in our minds. And the way we do that is by studying the Word of God. Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 3. Why don't you turn there? Because it's a verse that I'd love you to lay your eyes upon this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter is writing here to the church. It's a general epistle, meaning it's just to the body of Christ as a whole. And here in 1 Peter chapter 3, here in verse 15, he says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. Now, there's our word. That's a noun form of that word prepared in Ephesians. And always be ready, he says, to give a defense to everyone. Note those words, always, ready, defense, everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Well, we don't have time to unpack this whole verse. But let me just say this. Peter says this, set God apart in your heart, which means your life is set apart to Him. It comes back to that walking with God. He says, and always be prepared to give a defense for what? For the hope that's in you. Now, wait a second. How do you know that there's a hope in me? How do you know I've got some hope? Because you see it. There's something in the life of a Christian that the world looks in and goes, they've got some, I don't. I think one of the greatest questions that has ever been posed to me is, what do you have? Or more of a statement, I want what you have. Well, I'm like, wow. That's what it means to be a Christian. The word Christian was given by the world to the church because they were like Jesus. They reminded the world of that man Jesus in the generation where Jesus lived and was crucified and rose again. People knew who he was, knew what he did, heard the stories about him. And they said, these people, though that guy's dead in their mind, he's dead, he's gone. These people, the church, they're just like him. When someone says to you, I want what you have, what is it about you that's different? You see, they're seeing the hope that's in you. Church, that's Christianity. That's nothing out of the ordinary. That should be the ordinary for us. And that comes from simply being in love with God. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation. It's not something I'm ashamed of. It's something that I don't hold back. I talk about the Lord. I tell people about my God. There's no shame there. Because I know this, it's the very power of God to salvation. Understand this. This is that which will save a man's soul. He will deliver him and rescue him from the judgment of hell. From what the Bible calls a lake of fire. Sometimes we just go on our way. We get caught up in Christianity, in religion, and we miss the reality. And we don't live in sobriety. I said this morning, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And there are people going to hell if they do not know the gospel. Now, there are some Christians today that would say that all men will have equal opportunity in a sense. They're all going to have a chance to get saved. Let me just say this. If they do not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. No hope. Well, what about the pygmies in Africa? Well, they're not really in Africa anyways, but that's a whole nother point. What about those groups, those unreached groups? They're going to hell. Unless someone brings them the gospel. How strategic, a soldier strategic. How strategic is the church? How much do we say, listen, God has given us the gospel. We've got to be ready. We've got to be firmly founded in it, and we've got to be ready to go and to preach it. Well, let me just say this. You're not going to go to any place in the world and preach the gospel if you can't do it in your own home. If you can't do it at work, if you can't do it in your own little world you live in right now, if I can't shine for Christ, then I'm just a false witness. I can't actually leave here and not witness and go somewhere like Africa. It's actually easier to preach the gospel. I can do that, but I've only been a witness for a certain time in a certain location. Then I come back home and I just go back to my old carnal self. But God has called us to be witnesses of Him. To let His light so shine among men that they see His good work in us and glorify Him, or the Father in heaven. Jesus said, like a city set on a hill, let your light so shine. Let Him live. Let Him flow. And again, there's no greater joy. There's no greater life than to allow Him to do that. Church, we need to be ready. So we need answers. Now, let me just say this. If you don't have answers to questions that people ask you about the Lord, about the gospel, about the Bible, that's okay. First thing to do, be honest. Just say, I don't know. Second thing to do, find out. Find out. Let me just say this. There are answers for the things that you don't know about. Just because you don't know doesn't mean it's not answered. We're not all knowing. God is all-knowing. And there are things we might not understand right now, we might not get right now, but if you are willing to research and study the Word of God, you'll find out there's answers. And that's important for us to understand. And therefore, we need to give ourselves to the study of the Word. Paul says this to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to what he says to him. He says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know," he's speaking about outsiders, those that aren't Christians, "that you might know how to answer each one." And how do we do that? By Scripture. The best answer for a question in life is God's answer. And that's all I'm called to do. An ambassador just represents Him. I don't need to come up with them. I don't need to be creative. I just need to know them. Well, let me just say this. The answers to your life, to my life, and to the world's life is found right here in God's Word. "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," listen to what it says, "might be complete, thoroughly equipped." That's prepared. We must prepare ourselves in the Word of God. That's why we study the Bible here at Calvary Chapel. That's why we commit so much time to the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. That's why on Wednesday nights we're going through the entirety of Scripture. We're traveling through the Old Testament. And let me just say this. For those of you that aren't able to make it out, listen, there's a lot in that Old Testament I can guarantee you don't know about. And we're mining out those treasures. It's awesome. And we're learning so much. And want to encourage you to visit us. If you can't, visit us on the web and get the studies and grow in the Scriptures. This is why we start a Bible college. This is the equipping of the saints. Listen, if you got in the Word of God and seriously said, "I'm going to study. I'm going to know the Word of God." The first thing the Word of God does for me is it lights my soul on fire for Jesus Christ. When I just, you know, study, I mean, I get what? I get reproof. It says it's good for instruction, for correction, for doctrine. So I'm taught, I'm corrected, I'm made straight. The word correct, that's what it means. It's like setting a broken bone in the Greek. It's making something that's broken, something crooked, straight. Well, how many of our lives need to be made straight? Well, crooked. The Word of God. And church, I cannot emphasize enough the need and the importance of the Word of God. You look at all the great men and women of God throughout Scripture and throughout church history. They are people committed to the Word of God, to the study of the Word of God, to the knowledge of the Word of God. All through Scripture. It is so vital. I mean, think about David. You know, this guy after God's own heart. He says, "In His Word I meditate day and night, and I have hid His Word in my heart, that I would not sin against Him. And His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." He says, "His Word warns me of danger. His Word keeps me from willful sin. His Word corrects me." Psalm 19, read it. Psalm 119, read it. David, Psalm 1. He just talks about it. Jeremiah says, "I found His Word and ate it, and it was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by His name, O God of hosts." I mean, he's just like, "I found the Word of God and I devoured it. It was the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Jeremiah goes on to say, when he's in prison, he says, "I won't speak Your Word anymore." He's a prophet, and they're not receiving God's Word. He says, "Forget it. Sitting there in a dungeon, I'm not going to preach it anymore." And he says, "And His Word was shut up in my bones like a fire, and I could not hold it back, and I had to speak." It's the power of the Word of God, because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And it pierces to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want your words with that unbeliever to penetrate to the very, very thoughts of their hearts, to their conscience. Pull out the double-edged sword of the Word of God and just stick it in and let it do the rest. Because it has the ability to divide between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it can discern and it can just examine. The next verse says, "For all things are open and naked to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. It's just like the Word of God just shines the light and now you're just like naked there before God. The Word of God, that's the power. And therefore, I got to know it. And I need to know it. When we get to the sword of the Spirit, you're going to see it's a little different. It's not necessarily the sword of the Spirit, the double-edged sword of evangelism. It's more of something that you battle the enemy with. We'll talk about that. And again, you'll need to know the Word of God to do that. Brothers and sisters, it is so vital for us to know the Word of God. 2 Timothy says this in chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I want you to notice, it doesn't say be diligent to present yourself approved to man, to your friends, to your Christian, you know, small group, to your Bible study, but to God. To God. And he says this, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the scriptures. So many Christians today have the Bible and know the Bible, but don't know what the Bible means. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. And more than it's just sad, it's misleading. And it brings us to points of heresies, which leads to cults and all kinds of false practices in the name of God. You know how many people today that are so far off of the Bible quote the Bible and believe what they're doing is based on the Bible? Do you know how many people have lived lives of sexual immorality quoting the Bible? Who have molested children quoting the Bible? Who have done the most heinous acts because they have misinterpreted and are misled and are not surrendered to the Lord and are not diligent to present themselves approved to God? This is the word in the same verse in the King James Bible that says, study to show yourself approved. New King James translates, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. To rightly divide the word. And again, this is another reason that we have like a classroom setting where we're going to get in, dive in, dig down, and rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Peter, turn there with me if you're in 1st. Go to 2nd. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at verse 15 and 16. This is why we need to study the Word of God. Our minds need to be sharp with the Scriptures. Verse 15 says this, and accounting, Peter's talking. He's talking about difficult things. He's talking about end time events. He says, and accounting that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Then listen to what he says. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in, watch this, all his, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, the things concerning eschatology, the end times events, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable, interesting, unstable, feet firmly founded, that's stable. They're unstable. It says, unstable twists to their own destruction as they do also the rest of Scripture. Now, I would like to point out for those of you students here this morning of God's Word that Peter is recognizing Paul's epistles as Scripture when he says also they do the rest of Scripture. But what's he saying? They twist what? They twist to their own destruction. They're unstable because they have not rightly divided the word of truth. Our minds need to be ready to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says concerning the heart in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. This is his prayer. When I say heart, I mean maybe zeal, readiness, a fervency, a looking for the door to be open, ready to preach the gospel. My feet are shod with the readiness. I'm not just prepared mentally, but I'm prepared spiritually. Prayed up. I went out of my house this morning saying, Lord, open a door and I'm going through it. And I'm like, well, maybe that was a door open for me, you know, after you've left. But I'm ready. I'm like, this is the reason I'm alive. Lord, give me an opportunity. And I'm like a wrestler and I'm going to take him by the throat. That's what he's saying. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh. Lord, give me this place. Give me these people. Give me a passion. And Paul says this, praying in Colossians 4, verses 3 through 6. He says, meanwhile, pray also for us. This blesses me. Paul's in prison, and this is all he wants prayer for. I don't know about you, my list would be like this. And pray for me that I get out of these chains. And pray for me I get some food here. And pray that I get some blankets. And pray that I don't get abused. And pray for me, because I'm in prison. Wah! That would be my prayer. I'm just being honest. And you'd have wah at the end. He says, meanwhile, pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, of which I am in chains, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the times. Well, verse 4 of that, the Apostle Paul, redeeming the times, or it's verse 5, Weiss translates it this way, I like this, in wisdom be ordering your behavior towards those who are outside, that's the world, buying up for yourself the strategic, opportune times. Buying up. That's how redeeming the times. He translates buying up for yourself the strategic, opportune times. Listen. The breath that I have right now, the life that I have, is to be lived for the glory of God. It's to be lived for the praise of God. And God's saying, and Paul's praying, give us the heart that says, I'm going to buy up every opportunity. I'm looking for the opportunities. That's it. Have your mind ready by being in the Word. And have your heart ready by just looking. I'm just like a soldier on night watch. I'm just looking for an opportunity. And when it comes, I seize it. And we can only do that, church, through being filled with the Spirit of God. Acts 1. That's the only way. That boldness. And that's what Paul prays, that I ought to speak as I ought to speak. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I read them to us. Let's listen to them again. For me, he says, it's a parallel passage of Colossians, same thing, in prison, asking for prayer from the Ephesians. He says that the utterance might be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly, listen, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Awesome. That's what it's about. The message God has given me, Paul the Apostle says in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, this is his message. He says, my message to the Jews and Gentiles was repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I told my wife last night, I said I could make this a three, five, six-part study in this verse. Because you say, well, what do I do? How do I share the gospel? Listen, the gospel is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, tells us the gospel is that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and was raised according to the Scriptures on the third day. That's the gospel. Now, the gospel that I'm to preach is a gospel that man is in need of the risen Savior, of the blood of Jesus, of the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, in my gospel presentation, and we will look at it as we study the book of Romans together, we will see that man is depraved, man is in sin, and in desperate need of salvation. Sometimes we skip that. This is not the gospel. God opens a door and I tell someone, you know what? Jesus loves you. And he died for you. I walk away. I preach the gospel. No, you didn't. You told someone Jesus loved them. And he died for them. You didn't tell them they needed him. You didn't tell them they needed to repent to receive His love. You didn't tell them right now you're an enemy of God. You didn't tell them you need to be reconciled to God. But here's the good news. He came to reconcile you to Him, that He died for your sins, and He rose again the third day, and He wants to have a relationship with you. You just said Jesus loved you and died for you. We got to be real careful. We got to rightly divide the word of truth. Repentance was the message of John the Baptist, of Jesus. Look through the Gospels. John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter's first message on Pentecost and the ones following was repent and let every one of you be forgiven. Repentance of Paul the Apostle. All through the Gospels and Acts. Repentance, repentance, repentance. That was the message. Jesus says, apart from repentance, in no way will you see the kingdom of God. We've got to share the good news. But before you it's good, you've got to show the bad news. You're a sinner. You know, it's amazing because people, often I'll ask them when I'm sharing the gospel, do you think you're good enough to get to heaven? Use it. Ask people that. Almost every time the answer is yes. It's very rarely I hear no. It's mostly, yes, I'm good enough to get to heaven. Awesome. Perfect. Well, let's talk about how you get to heaven. Well, so you think you get to heaven based on your goodness? So you think you're a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person. And then you can just right away say, you know what? Let's take a look at the Ten Commandments and see how good we all are. And again, it's going to take a little bit more study than I'm going to throw out here in about 3 seconds. But I'm just here to tell you that we've got to show people their sin before we can tell them of the forgiveness of it. Because if they don't see a need for forgiveness, they'll just say, I'm glad Jesus loves me and died for me. And I'm glad that works for you. And that's neat. Bye. And they go on, you think I preach the gospel? You didn't preach the gospel. You just told someone like they're all good. You almost gave them a false security, like Jesus loves you. Actually, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. But He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. And for whoever believes in Him, they shall not perish but have everlasting life. To believe in Him means that you're ready to turn from you and your sin and your life and turn to Him. And brothers and sisters, this is the message God has given to us. Paul the Apostle says in Acts chapter 26 in verse 20, and I love this verse. Listen to what he says. But I declared, he's talking to King Agrippa, he's saying, after I was saved, this is what I did. I declared it first to those in Damascus, that is the gospel, and then in Jerusalem, throughout all the regions of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. Now he took it literal, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and get walking. Go. He took it literal when Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, in Damascus, that's where he got saved. Then in Jerusalem, throughout all the regions of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. And this is what I preach, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance, that there's going to be an evidence of repentance. Matthew 7, Jesus makes it clear that there is an evidence of change in the life of the saved. Will you go with me to 2 Corinthians? And we're headed towards communion. But before we get there, I want to leave you with such a powerful truth of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. And for those of us that are believers today, this is us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's salvation. And that's not you. Today, you can get saved. Today, you can call on the name of the Lord. Or if that was once you, and it's not today, that there's not newness of life, you can repent and turn back to God and do works befitting repentance and find what you've lost. A walk with God, a nearness to Christ, the beauty of what it means to be forgiven and transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so for those that have this, again, this isn't going to be effort so much for me. If my life's been changed, hey, that guy that I was, he's dead. And I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done in my life. That's where testimony comes in. Verse 18, though, listen to this. Oh, this is awesome. Now all things are of God. Thank God, who has, thank God isn't there, I added that, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I was an enemy of God. He reconciled. I didn't reconcile myself. I didn't move towards God. Know this, God moved towards you. He said, I love you. You don't love me. I love you. And I'm going to reconcile myself with you by sending my son to die on your behalf. And there's wrath right now between you and me. There's enmity. And I'm going to take it away. I'm going to actually pour my wrath out on my son. That's the gospel. He reconciled us through the cross. And listen to what it says. It says, and has given to us, the end of verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. Whoa, wait. He's given me something? Some kind of service, ministry? Yeah, check this out. Verse 19, that is, here it is, all right. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Hallelujah! Did you hear that, church? We need to wake up. God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it, was in Christ. Christ is God. God was in Christ. And he reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You've got to be kidding me. That's what some of us said last week after we looked at Romans. You got to be kidding me. That's what he did for me. Yeah, that's just the beginning. God was in Christ, reconciled the world, not imputing our trespasses to us, but taking them away. Look at verse 21. For he made him who? God in Christ, who knew no sin, that he might become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's justification. He didn't impute our trespasses to us, but he reconciled us to him. And then he said, now check this out. I'm going to give you a ministry. And it's the ministry of reconciliation or ambassadorship. Watch this. Verse 20, look at it. Oh, just let it just resound in our hearts. Therefore, here's your life's purpose. Here's your calling. Here's what you're alive to do. Here's what every breath I have is given for. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Watch this. This is awesome. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's my message. But wait a second, it's not mine. It's His. I'm an ambassador. That's all I am. I'm a messenger. And God is in me and you imploring the world. Now let me just say this. When I said, when you witness, you will find great satisfaction. That's because when God is pleading through your soul to another soul, imploring them to be made right with God, you will find the purpose you were born for. And you will find a place of giving God praise and glory with your very body. And understand what Paul means when he says, and I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is my reasonable act of worship or service. And here's our service ministry, ambassador of Christ. Church, it is an absolute privilege to be born again, to have the God of the universe dwelling in us, and to have him infuse his power and life into us, these wretched bodies, and to begin to broadcast his love through us. And that's what he's done. And he's saying, listen, love me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love me. Let that love just shine through. Just be my tool, my ambassador. And let God be magnified. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Again, Father, time has failed. to share of world evangelization. The 1040, half the population of the universe, awaiting to hear the message for the first time. To share, Lord, of Your heart for them. And so I pray by Your Spirit, You would speak to us by Your Word. And You stir our hearts. And You bring us to that place of worship. And thank You. Thank You for Your Word. God, help us to get out of the funk. To get out of the dirt. As the Psalms say, the muck and the mire. Help us to shoe our feet with the gospel of peace. For us personally. And then, Lord, to declare that publicly. Make it our aim. As Paul said, it was his aim to preach the gospel where Christ wasn't named. Make it our aim, O God. We worship You and thank You, and it's in Jesus' name.